It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
Steps into it, passes, caught, digs, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable, Vikings win it.
Here's your ball game, folks, as Flutie takes the snap, he drops straight back, has some time, now he scrambles away from one hit, looks, uncorks a deep one for the end zone, Phelan is down there.
Oh, he got it!
Did he get it?
He got it!
Touchdown! 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 Touchdown, Boston College!
Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches
it
back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50.
He's got it.
40,
he's got it.
20. 10.
He's got it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field.
Under center is Wangler at the 45. He goes back. He's looking for a receiver. He throws downfield to fire. Fire.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal. Malcolm Butler.
I am not a crook.
This is Utah, give me two, not Nixon. What up? Mike loves my hair. Mike, I miss you too, buddy. Hi, Mike. Mike, I miss you. I do. I miss talking ball, baseball, football, whatever it is. I miss you. I look forward to the day we get to do it again. Please follow Mike Virginia on Twitter X at underscore Mike VA. He is Mike Virginia. Football, baseball, fatherhood. This guy knows what he's talking about, okay? Lock me in on that. Good to have you here, my brother. Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all like, that's right, Huck It, Chuck It, football. In fact, I want to start calling the football shows Huck It, Chuck It, football. That's it. That's the name of the show, okay? Everybody got that?
Go Chargers, go.
And as Mike always says, here on the Palazzo Podcast, two L's,
Utah.
Two Z's.
Give me two.
And we give it back to you.
Right, Mike?
The people.
That's right, my friend. Great to be here.
Great job.
Excited. Week two is now here. We did 1 week and it's over. Crazy shit happened. All the unders were coming in. Remember this, next year, opening week, NFL, bet the unders, dude. In fact, what will happen to you, though, is that the one under you're certain will hit will be the one that goes over, which was Pittsburgh and the Jets for me. Idiot. Idiot. God. Mike says, that's right. Lock me in, baby. You got it, Mike. One day I'll lock you in face-to-face on the air. I wish you and your increased family by one all the best, Mike. Follow Britton Allen, too, my baseball brother. He's still out there doing his thing. Two T's, two L's, our Discord.
Utah.
Link is totally free. It's in the description on every single video we do here at the Palazzo Podcast. Britton's having great conversations about French fries. Mm-hmm. Waffle fry. I love the waffle fry, if you didn't know. People got to talk about this stuff. We got to get on the record. That's where our Discord has you folks at. Jimmy, what's up, my man? Jamar Chase cost me my week one in home league. 0-1, time to lock it in. That's right. Well, the good news is, Jimmy, that it won't get any worse rest of season for Jamar Chase than this first game, right? Right?
Wow, dude.
I hope that's true, because the only thing that would be worse is if he tears an ACL. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that, am I? But that would be the worst case. That's not It hasn't happened yet. That's still in the cards. And I'm not rooting for that at all. I got one Ja'Marr Chase share, and that was in best ball. He couldn't even help me do well in best ball. In fact, he was one of my least scoring guys on my best ball team of the week. Ja'Marr Chase against that Cleveland D. I'm telling you, Myles Garrett, he almost had three straight sacks in three straight plays of Joe Burrow. Myles Garrett's still there. The Cleveland defense still has something to say. We forget about it. We think Cleveland's a joke. We think of Deshaun Watson, what a bum he is and a scumbag of the highest order. But you got to look through all the crap. You got to sift through the garbage. NFL 2025, sifting through the rubble, right? Joe, what's up, buddy? Good to see you here, man. Joe, how are you? I hope you're doing well. Joe Chris in the his house. He's in the live chat just like my main man, JP, too. Huck it, chuck it. That's right, JP. Great to see you, and Jimmy, and Mike Virginia was here, too. Yahoo projected me to lose, as did Fantrax. I did not lose. Oh, my God, what a shocker.
Great job.
Holy testicle Tuesday, right? Dante Thornton, gonna blow up. You're not giving up. Joe, you're hanging in there. You're hanging in there, right? You're hanging in there. I like that. Week one for the Raiders was a good one. Dante Thornton and the Raiders. The Raiders. They got a nice victory in New England. I think everybody was on New England for that game. But there are a lot of people, or enough people at least, and I suppose with the NFL being covered as it is, everybody's talking about it, everybody's writing about it, everybody's doing podcasts like me, live streams, which I want to talk to you. Please, get in the live chat. Ask me about Week 2, waiver wire, trades already. Yes, it's time to talk trades. Give me some action. I need some action tonight, right? Just like Clarence Boddicker would say. Shout out to Clarence Boddicker in Detroit. One of my favorite villains of all time. Thanks, Clarence. But yeah, the Raiders were some people's like, oh, they're going to be good this year. They might make the playoffs because they got Pete Carroll now, and they brought in Geno Smith, a veteran, not an elite, but a solid veteran quarterback, who's certainly better than Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. Although, there is part of me, I still have hope that one day Aiden O'Connell might have a season where you're like, wow, like at 29 years old, he gets a chance to start, and he's good. That might happen someday. I'm not ruling that out. But yeah, the Raiders are legit. Joe wants to know, does Cleveland beat Baltimore? I don't know if they can beat him. Remember, Baltimore started 0-2 last year, and they still went into the playoffs, so maybe that's overhyped for a team like Baltimore who's so good. God, that game Sunday night was stupid, but I took the Bills, and I was certain that it wasn't going to win. But in the end, the Bills won. Checkmark Bills. Just like Monday night, I was taking the Vikings no matter what. It didn't look like they were going to win. Checkmark Vikings. You just got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. I'm definitely taking the points with Cleveland, and maybe Baltimore will be pissed, and they'll kick Cleveland's ass this coming weekend. But 12 points is just too much in a division game in week two. It's too early. I'm just taking the points. I have to. Hugo's here. What's up, Hugo? Would you drop Bigsby for Fannin, my bidding fab? All right, Tank Bigsby. You're going to give up after 1 week? I don't know if we should do that, Hugo. By the way, I'm Michael Govier. For those that don't know me, a lot of live chatters already do, but I want to meet new people. I want to connect with you. Let's talk. How are you? What are you feeling? What's on your mind? What are you concerned about, fantasy football-wise? Have you been to Taco Bell lately? Any good new menu items? Have you ridden a bicycle lately? I got a bike from my father recently. He kind of surprised us with it. We went over to see him a couple weeks ago, and he goes, here, take this bike home. I was like, okay. And I've been riding, and I'm really enjoying bicycle riding again. It's been a long time. But you don't care about that. It's a matter of Tank Bigsby being worth rostering right now. Everybody's excited for those that draft Travis Etienne. Had himself a great opening week. I just don't think you can bail on Tank right away, right? Even though he's in Philadelphia. Yeah. I guess so I need to update on the Will Shipley injury. Is that much more serious than I realized? Because I know he got hurt. Oh, it's a rib fracture. Yeah, so he's going to be out. So now Tank Bigsby's one step away from me in the stud in Philly. I don't know if you can drop a handcuff like that, especially with a guy like Saquon who could get hurt. I don't know if you can do that, right? Would you? Other guys in the chat? Let's help Hugo out here. What would you guys do? Would you hold on to Tank Bigsby right now? I say yes. And as Joe's clarifying, Bigsby is the cuff to Barkley now. Yeah, that's a high priority cuff. Some people don't like to hold on to cuffs that might not get the run because as long as Saquon's healthy, it's his backfield, right? So you're only holding Tank just in case Saquon gets hurt. But there might be other guys that you could add that could be useful that you could start now who are already ready to go on the waiver wire. You know, it's a tough thing. Handcuffs are fun. But some handcuffs could sit there for a long time and you get nothing out of them. Meanwhile, you could have picked up other guys that you may have started at other positions on your roster. As far as Fannin, Harold Fannin, who is a ballyhooed rookie from the Cleveland Browns. And you know what? This is something I haven't done yet. And you just reminded me with the Harold Fannin talk that I need to look at the week one snap shares. One of my favorite things to do. I love looking at the snap shares as they develop throughout the year. And I got to get back in that mode because it's still kind of weird. I'm still unsure. I'm like, wait, the season's underway, right? We're playing football. The NFL is underway. It's not just like a pretend thing that's in the near future, right? You wait and you wait and you wait off season, but now it's here. We got games and we got results, and you got to keep up to date on those snap shares. And one of my favorite, I can't remember, my favorite site. What do you guys prefer when it comes to looking at NFL snap shares, keeping track of who's getting the ball, who's not, who's on the field, who's not? What's your preferred site? I believe, now I have this bookmarked. I got a lot of bookmarks. So bear with me here as I try to find it. I remember there's a little football icon that usually gives it away, but I guess I should have found this before we went on the air. Oh, there it is. Okay, I found it. Yes, that's the one. Yeah, the football guys, I love their database for snap shares. Love it. That's usually where I've been going for a while. Loved it for the last four years or so. So let's take a look. Oh, they've changed. They've kind of redesigned their page a little bit. Still the same. Sorry. Okay. So Harold Fannin, he played, 55 snaps? In week one, yes. He had 7 catches for 63 yards. Meanwhile, David Njoku doesn't do dick. I'm not buying that. Okay, they like Fannin a lot, and Joe Flacco loves his tight ends, but I'm not. And Njoku is still their main guy tight end. There's just no argument about that, and I'm not going to change after 1 week. Fannin, if you think he's going to be a breakout, and you don't just think this is a 1 week fluke, which who knows, especially with Joe Flacco at the helm. Then, okay, yeah, drop Bigsby for Fannin. If you need a tight end, go for it. And how much would you bid? I mean, if it's a $100 budget for the year, so, I don't know, $10 or less for sure, I wouldn't bid $10 on Fannin. I'd put maybe $3 or $4 on a $100 budget, okay? There you go, Hugo! Joe says, how much would you spend on Fannin? I just gave it to you. Out of 1,000, maybe they trade Njoku to the Niners. He's in a contract here. You think he's going? Okay, I like that, Joe. Juan Pena in the house. Is Cooper Kupp droppable for Calvin Austin, Quentin Johnston, or Booty? I love Booty. My rosters would tell you the story on Booty. I was looking at Booty a lot and drafting him deep in drafts just as a guy who put up some surprisingly decent stats for a guy you wouldn't think of last year with a quarterback who was a rookie, Drake May, in the Patriots on a terrible team, right? I think I talked about Booty a bit on Sunday, and he ends up having a 100-yard day, which is awesome. I like Pops Douglas, too, but Booty's the guy who could be the breakout for them this season. And I only drafted Cooper Kupp one single time, and I regret that I did it because I think he's done. I think it's over. I really do. You know, he had 3 targets, 2 catches, 15 yards. Boo-hoo! In week one. That was a tough game, too. It was a low-scoring, grinded-out affair. Also, Kenneth Walker. Shit! Kenneth Walker, what a buzzkill, huh? But, yeah, I would drop Kupp for Austin. I like Calvin Austin. Quentin Johnston, as long as he's healthy. You know, he had a couple games last year. He was scoring touchdowns earlier last year. Quentin Johnston was. And he has a connection with Herbert. They've grown another season together. And what you see after week one, that's not a fluke to me. I think Johnston could be looking at a double-digit touchdown season depending on game scripts, how often the Chargers actually do throw versus they run. But I think it's possible. Keenan Allen's in the mix, and he's very much going to be relied upon. I should have realized as soon as the Chargers signed Keenan Allen in the preseason that all my Trey Harris shares were dead. I love Trey Harris, the rookie out of Mississippi, who's with the Chargers, second-round pick. I thought he had a chance to be one of the best rookie wide receivers this year, but once they signed Keenan Allen, that's it. It was over. So other than an injury, Trey Harris is screwed. But yeah, I'd pick up Booty. I'd go Booty. Yeah, I'm going to go Booty, Johnston, Austin. Okay, lock me in. There you go. That's how I feel about it. Uncle Ted's here. We score 170 week one and 52nd place overall in the primetime. Well done, Uncle T. That's a nice start. Joe says, I drop him from QJ. There you go. Targets is all that matters. Got it, Uncle T. I got offered James Conner and Waddle for ETN, half PPR. So I accept. You get James Conner and Jalen Waddle for ETN. Yeah, because I still think there's going to be issues in that Jacksonville backfield. We can't just assume week one, guys. Everybody in here, Joe, Uncle T, Ricky, and Juan, and Hugo, and everybody else, and Jimmy, my boy in here. Guys, this is just 1 week, and it's week one, and it's always a stupid week, week one. We all know this. Now, some things will be true, some things will stick, other things won't. I think week one last year, J.K. Dobbins came right out the gate for the Chargers. That stuck for a while, right? But there's other things. Remember a couple years ago, this is probably, maybe it's been five or more years now. Remember when the Saints murdered the Packers? This is when Aaron Rodgers was still there, so it's been a few years. The Saints kicked the Packers' ass in week one, 38 to nothing or some shit like that. Do you remember this? And then the Packers, I think that might have been the relax, the cue for the relax, which we should have, by the way, as a drop. Sorry, I don't have that. But if you get caught, by the way, did you guys see my boy, Trey Benson, limited touches, but what he did with those touches, give Trey Benson the ball more, please, Mr. Jonathan Gannon, and give R.J. Harvey the ball more, please, Sean Payton. But we know you won't do it, Payton. I know Payton's game. We all know it. I'm locking in Sean Payton's routine with running backs because it'll never change. But there's a chance with Benson to finally usurp Connor and take that role. But Connor's still in the mix, and he could be a touchdown vulture. So, yeah, why not? Do the trade. If you get out now on ETN, but you might regret that. If ETN ends up being the man, now that Bigsby's gone, you're giving up a back who could be a stud in that backfield. Remember a couple years ago, ETN had double-digit touchdowns. I know he didn't have shit for yards per carry, but ETN was useful in that role. Herbert got a woman now. He's throwing that ball around. I didn't know that. Why didn't someone tell me that preseason? Damn it! Also, Herbert was hurt last year. He was dealing with an injury like all year long. He seems healthy now, and he looks really good. 1 week, though. 1 week. Remember this, okay? Everyone remember it's 1 week. 1 week.
Go Chargers, go.
I got offered James Conner and I just hit that one. Idiot. I'm really not trying to drop Njoku for Fannin, but damn. Yeah, don't freak out on that. Nobody drop Njoku yet. Just don't do that. Thanks, mate. Loving the energy. Follow-up. Thank you, Hugo. Mwah! Kisses to you, Hugo. Follow-up, then. Loveland and Thornton for Fannin? By the way, you can follow me on Twitter X at MJ Govier, Blue Sky, MJ Govier. It's right here. If I close that, see, I'm right here in the corner, right down. That's me right there. Look at me. And if you've never met me before, you think this is what I really look like. I've changed my look quite radically recently. My hair and my beard are Doofusville, and that's fun. Follow up. Thornton. Loveland for Fannin. Loveland is my only tight end. By the way, I got a Patreon. Starts at $3 a month, guys. $3 for a whole month. We're talking college. We're talking NFL, fantasy football, baseball, too. Baseball's wrapping up, though, so I'm kind of focused on football right now. Link is in the bio. Link is in the bio. That's a Twitter thing, you idiot. Oh, my God.
Great job.
Link is in the description. Thank you. I got it right. I'm on YouTube. Descriptions. All right. Loveland and Thornton for Fannin. Loveland is my only tight end. I do have Moore and Adunze, who scored a touchdown last night for the Bears, who lost to the Minnesota Vikings. Yes! By the way, huge game coming up here. Do or die, week two. Ben Johnson, the legend of Detroit, taking on his former team Not Pontiac. No, that was a long time ago. In downtown Detroit at Ford Field. That's going to be a doozy. Doozy! I'm really looking forward to that one. We'll see what happens. We'll see if somebody has to apologize to somebody after that game on Sunday.
I apologize.
It's going to be awesome. And maybe they're going to have to thank their Lord and Savior, too.
Thank you, Jesus!
So, Loveland and Thornton for Fannin. Loveland is my only tight end, and I feel like too many eggs in one basket. Because you got too much Chicago. But if that offense pops, you'd be sitting pretty. I wouldn't give up on Loveland just yet, although I only drafted Loveland this year in Dynasty mostly because you just never know where the ball's going to go week to week in Chicago. They got so many damn people to throw the ball to. It's a lot. 21 Savage style, a lot. So I think that's too much to give up, though. Loveland, Thornton for Fannin. I think that's an overreaction. I do. So I wouldn't do it right now. But if you feel the gut instinct, don't listen to this bozo. Listen to yourself. Okay, Hugo, you're the man. Thanks for being here. We're also on Twitter X with the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's.
Utah, give me two.
And whenever you have a trade, remember this. As Joe says, don't do it. Injury risk and the Dolphins suck. Well, we know the Dolphins didn't look very good, right? But remember, if you have a trade and you're not sure what to do, just stop, take a breath, and just run a check.
So you better run a check.
So check yourself before you wreck yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yeah.
Got it? Good. That's something we try to teach here. Practice, practice, practice here at the Palazzo Podcast. Jimmy says, Tillman looks better than Judge Judy. Week one overreactions. Week one overreactions. Oh, my God. We're out of control, aren't we? Joe says it changes every few weeks. Good chance Connor sprains an ankle. Sure. Brian's here. Brian, one of our competitors in the Palazzo Podcast Invitational. Hey, what's up, Brian? How you doing, my man? Good to see ya. Let's see what happened week one. The Palazzo Podcast Invitational is a football league. Oh. I'm just checking in on this because I didn't want to look. Look at this. Let's go live to my week one final in the Palazzo Podcast Invitational, which is redraft, no super flex, 1 point PPR. Look at that. Oh, look at that. Hurts. Oh, that is one of the closest losses I've ever had in my life, bar none. Is it not? Look at that. Oh, that stings the nostrils, doesn't it? Boy, that sucks. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, let's read the recap here, the AI recap. Tea time, sneak pass, MJ Goyer, a battle of mediocrity. Damn! Oh, AI, you're funny. In a thrilling contest, Goyer described as a nail-biter. Tea time to edge out MJ Goyer with a final score of 107.96 to 107.82 on Monday night. MJ Goyer's grade of C clearly shows they were more of a meh than a wow this week. But hey, at least they didn't flunk out completely, right? Day!
Father Jeff.
Shut the fuck up!
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm not going to read the rest of that crap. Good God in heaven. That's so funny. Anywho, what could I have done differently? Let's go back. Tail of the tape. If I started somebody else, would I have won? You got Love, London, Pickens. That sucked. Genty, Kenneth Walker, wouldn't change those. Tucker Kraft scored a touchdown week one. I love seeing that. I just wish the game script had allowed the Green Bay Packers to throw more. But I'm telling you guys, Kraft is going to be a key weapon for that offense this season. Of course, Zay Flowers, year three breakout, it's happening. That's not a fluke. That's not a week one overreaction, guys. Zay Flowers' career year is happening now. Lock it in all night long. You got me? Kyle Pitts, not bad. Kyle Pitts got some targets. So technically, I could have started Kyle Pitts over Kraft, and I would have won. Blah, blah, blah. We can all play that game. Daniel Carlson, my kicker, did well. My Houston D was crap. I mean, it was average. Maybe I should have played a better defense. Maybe I should have. Oh, boy. What a buzzkill. Yeah, wow, right? That's a wow, dude.
Wow,
definitely a wow, dude, right there. Brian says, my boy beat you by a point. I stink, though. Yeah. Is that your brother, Brian, by the way? Because I know we have a couple brothers in this league. So that was a bummer. Chad's here. He says, what's up, Chad? I'm so happy to have been so right about the Bucks. Egbuka arrow way up, Bucky arrow way down. I love Egbuka. In one league, I didn't start him because I started Kraft. That sucks. Kraft scores one touchdown. Egbuka has two touchdowns. That hurt. But that was a different league. So you can't win them all, and you're going to make mistakes, folks. But as long as you're drafting properly and you have the right players on your team, at least that's the good news, right? All right, we got more questions. What's up? Shadows Wicked? Shadow Ulzy Wicked. Am I getting that right? Shadow Ulzy Wicked. What's up? Make sure you subscribe. Like the video. Please support the show. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks. Should I handcuff Pacheco, Hunt, and Breshard Smith in waivers? Yeah, I guess. I got to tell you what. If Pacheco can't be the man, and I do believe he is the man in KC when it comes to being the running back, they're in real trouble. I don't know that this offense can keep allowing Kareem Hunt to go out there and be a legit fantasy relevant running back. It's got to end at some point, right? I know it's stupid. Oh, Christ, look at this. Let's go ahead and take a look at the snap count for the Chiefs here. It's real simple. 1 week, guys. 1 week. 1 week. Try not to overreact. I keep telling you this. We got to remain calm in the face of what we've seen with our own eyes, correct? So, here we go. Week one. Pacheco, 51, Hunt, 38, and Smith, 13. That's the tail of the tape, plain and simple. By the way, Hollywood Brown, 10 catches, 99 yards. He's all they got outside right now. Please don't get hurt, Hollywood Brown. I need you right now. You're giving me points. It's really nice. I drafted a lot of Hollywood Brown because he was so cheap during draft season. He was an afterthought everywhere, so why not? But I guess you should handcuff Pacheco. I don't know how the hell. Five carries. It's Brazil. It's weird shit. But, yeah, go ahead and get, you know, take Hunt. He's still there. Yes, go ahead and do that. Okay? Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. But I still believe in Pacheco. I love Pacheco this year. Don't give up on Pacheco. Stick around, right? KJ Frederick wants to know, better full PPR flex start, Rick P or Debo? So Pearsall or Debo? Debo. Really liked what I saw week one. I was really thinking a big bounce back year for Debo this season. And woo, week one, so far so good, right? 10 targets, 7 catches, 77 yards, 1 carry, 19-yard rushing touchdown. He could be even more involved, according to this guy, Nikki Jabvala. Believes the Commanders may push the ball downfield more. Great. Thank you so much for that update. But yeah, I'm real excited about Debo this year. So I'm starting Debo. I know it's Thursday. It's a quick turnaround. Packers D looked really good against the Lions. Their D is not that good, right? It's not. The Packers defense is not as good as you saw against my shitty ass. The Lions are done. Look, I'm telling you, I'm preaching not to overreact. It's week one. We're heading to week two.
Wow, dude.
It's over. The Lions are toast. They're toast. It's done. Okay? Jared Goff, if he doesn't have Ben Johnson and an O-line, I know the O-line could get better throughout the season, but if we're talking Super Bowl with the Lions, that's dead. That's totally dead. Jared Goff will never win a Super Bowl. Never. He will never do that. He will never do that. And this is not just Johnny Come Lately. I'm thinking a lot about that Washington playoff game back in January. That was Goff. The defense was going to be shit. Everybody knew the offense had to carry them to beat Washington that night because the defense had been decimated by a shitload of injuries. Right? Then Goff fumbles. He throws pick sixes. That was it. And it died that night. Now here we are, week one. They look ill-prepared. You can't just say, oh, it's week one. You know, they didn't have enough time to work in the preseason. Because this was a huge game. Packers-Lions is a division-defining game. Week one, right out the gate. The schedule dictates that you have to be prepared for this game and win this game. You can't just say, like, well, you know, it's week one. We'll just brush it off. No, it's a crucial loss in a very, very contested division, the NFC North. Right? And this is the Lions who've had this endless parade of talent on the offensive side, at least, and some on defense, with a system locked in. New coordinators, but it should be the same system ready to go. Here we go. They didn't look prepared. They looked like a mess. The O-line is a big problem. All right, you guys, this isn't a Lions show, so I'll stop there, but it's done. Lions to the Super Bowl is dead in the water. As far as this one, Ricky Pearsall against the Saints is hard to resist. Full PPR, he should have a big game. Purdy to Pearsall. KJ, yeah, that sounds really, really good. I think Debo could be, I think will have one of his best years this season, as long as he stays healthy. But quick turnaround week two against Green Bay could be a tough Thursday night bozo battle, grind it out type deal. Pearsall, it'd be shocking if he doesn't have a pretty decent game against the Saints. Although, the Saints aren't terrible. They're not the worst team in the league. I don't know who that is yet. I don't. I'm not going to say who it is, maybe for another week or two. But I guess Pearsall has the more attractive matchup, and he's like Purdy's main guy. It's like, let's party. Although the 49ers have brought in former Patriot Kendrick Bourne. I've always liked Bourne. He's fast. He's very athletic. He can make plays, but he just doesn't seem to do other things that allow him to be consistently in a lineup or where he gets cut. He's getting older, too. Kendrick Bourne is a sneaky, well, we'll see what the 49ers can do with him down the road. Just someone to think about, but Pearsall is Purdy's man, no doubt. Hugo, last question, I promise. Maybe. Hey, keep them coming, Hugo. It's party time here on the Bloodsoul Podcast.
Utah.
Two L's.
Give me two.
Two Z's. Should I be worried about Caleb Johnson's lack of activity in week one? It's a keeper league. It feels like Arthur Smith likes to ruin running backs. I love Jalen Warren this year. I know they drafted Caleb Johnson. They still got to work him in. He's got to show that he can still do pass pro, right? They can trust him in all phases. Jalen Warren is ready to go in his prime. He signed a 2-year extension, by the way, recently. So it's party time. It's Jalen Warren's backfield, in my opinion. So you should be concerned. But for a keeper league, you got to stay chill. It's a different matter, depending on how many keepers you have, okay? Joe says, hard-boiled egg bukas. Brian says, no, that's my son. He's a senior in high school. Learning him the ropes and giving him some fine role. Your son beat me! Oh! All hail, Brian's son. He kicked my ass. I mean, he didn't kick my ass. That was a nail biter. That was a really, really tight one. Could have gone either way, as you saw. But congratulations, Brian, son. You beat me fair and square. You're a good man. Joe says, yeah, they are bad. Tua is seeing ghosts out there. That was 1 week. I got to see what happens in week two. But if the Dolphins are dead, and everybody was saying this in the preseason, offseason, the Dolphins are trash, it's over. Week one did not dispel any of those rumors whatsoever. Chad says, Tua is toast. Tyreek is washed. And they have the worst defense in NFL history. Oh, here we go. Is this insane fantasy takes? I didn't know we were doing that. Nobody told me we were doing that. But, I mean, it's here for you guys, for the people.
And we give it back to you, the people.
I do like, I've always loved, I mean, if you guys, those that know us since day one, insane fantasy takes, that's something we love doing on this show. And it's something that goes back many years. Shoot, this show's been, this is 6 years the show's been in existence. So it's kind of cool. We've got a history. We got tradition. Tradition! Yeah, I love it. Keep them coming here. Jimmy says, Eminem going to be pissed. Yeah. Yeah, Eminem's pissed, I bet. But at least he's got his life of luxury he gets to enjoy while the Lions suck. I don't have that. Wah! Although, you know, we're taking donations here. You see these? We got PayPals. We got Venmos, Cash Apps. We love donations. If we could make this show, if I could do this show for a living, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would. And I think it'd be a good show. And if I could give myself more time, more production, oh, man, there's so many things I could do with this life. I don't know if it'll ever happen. But, hey, I'm grateful to be here. I love you guys. You guys rule. Thank you so much. Chad says, I don't know if you saw my Twitter, but I sweated out a massive parlay bet all the way to the last Palmer catch, which finally cashed the Palmer 10-plus yards catch leg and finished the ticket. No, I missed it, Chad, but congratulations. Woohoo! Glad to hear it, my brother. Was that Josh Palmer, that big 32-yard gain that helped the Bills come back and beat the Ravens? That was sweet. Chad also says, as a Bills fan, I've never sweated a final drive. So, yeah, I bet you never sweated a... Bills have had a lot of final drives you could sweat. I'd go back, actually, think about that again, Chad. And 13 seconds, Tyreek Hill, Chiefs, divisional playoff game. Need I say more? No, I don't think so. Joe says, Sunday night final legs are always interesting. What a doozy they are, my friend. I accidentally drafted Sam Ellinger instead of Egbuka in the fourth round. I swear, I picked Egbuka, but it gave me Ellinger. Got him in the fifth. Okay, well, at least you still got him. That's good. Oh, here we go. Gozy, are you a football-only guy? I feel like you were here maybe a year or two ago for football. Great to see you. If you're a first-timer, by the way, Gozy, subscribe, please. Like the video. Pretty please. Tell your friends. Full PPR trade. JCM, or Bill, and Sutton, Cortland Sutton, for Travis Hunter and Jalen Warren. All right. Full PPR. I like this. This is a great question. JCM, by the way, Bill, had a touchdown, put up some yards. He showed with Chris Rodriguez having a ridiculously stupid, healthy scratch. But JCM, it could be his world now. Eckler's old. This hype might actually live up. This might not just be a week one overreaction. This could be the real deal this season where he's a rock-solid running back. So if you trade him and Cortland Sutton, and the Broncos had a shit week one, I knew it was going to happen. That Tennessee defense is tougher than you think. Everything fell apart so much for Tennessee last year that we have this vibe of them being utter garbage. But they played the Broncos tough in Mile High. Have you heard about the Mile High air? Have you heard about what that can do to your lungs, your conditioning? You ever heard about that?
Great job.
Anyways, so you get Travis Hunter and Jalen Warren. Full PPR. This is redraft.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'd love to get Jalen Warren. I really like him a lot this year. I like him more than JCM even. I think Sutton will probably still end up having a bigger year than Travis Hunter offensively. But, yeah, I would do that trade. I'll do Hunter and Warren. I really like Warren a lot. He can catch the ball. He can run out of the backfield. And they're going to need him more and more as Aaron Rodgers gets more and more tired despite his four-touchdown miracle week one. I'm telling you, we'll see how much of a fluke that was, Gozy. You buying that, Gozy? You buying those four touchdowns from Rodgers? I don't know. But I'm doing the trade. Give me Hunter and Warren. What do you guys think? Let us know. Gozy says, yeah, it's close. It is redraft as well. Okay, yep. That's good. I'll do that. That's how I feel about it, Gozy. Lock me in on the Palazzo Podcast.
You talk. Two L's. Give me two.
Two Z's. Very simple to learn if you're new. Relax, Gove. Lions have the Bears this week. Should be an easy one. Nope. Uh-uh.
Wow, dude.
Come back to me week 10, Brian. There's red zone problems on this team. It was a terrible week one for their Lions offense in the red zone, and they got all this talent. But the O-line was a nightmare. It was. Thanks a lot. You got it, Gozy. Great to see you here, my man. We're doing the show every Tuesday night, waiver wire, trades, whatever, Tuesday evenings here, about 7-ish Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and all the other places you can find this stuff. And, of course, Sunday mornings, well, Sundays, 11:30, maybe noon-ish Eastern Time. We'll talk up to kickoff like we did this past Sunday. Time flies by when you're talking football. So much fun, especially when the live chat's kicking. Makes the show that much more interesting, enjoyable. We get to talk. We get to think. And we get to have a laugh or two, maybe, right? Maybe we get to win. That would be the real... If we could win, I think that's what we're all really looking for here, right? Okay. So anyways, yeah, I think the Lions' red zone offense has a lot to prove in week two. And if they can't get it going, then that's something to watch all season long. Because Gibbs is still Gibbs. But without an O-line, as you may have heard, Barry Sanders was a former Detroit Lion. And, you know, he didn't have the best offensive line, but he made it work. Brian's saying maybe they should run a check and figure it out. You know what? That's a great idea. This is for Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and everybody down at Allen Park where the Lions practice. You better run a check.
So you better run a check. So come on and tickety-check yourself before you wreck yourself. Tickety-check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thanks, Brian. I can't believe I didn't think of that first. Kyle Teal home run. Woohoo! All right, that's great for my main event team. But this is football, Jimmy. All right, so let's talk about week two. Waiver wire pickups, trade talk here. I don't think, obviously, a lot of you guys are thinking about Harold Fannin. We've had multiple points about Harold Fannin. Hey, did you see what Harold Fannin did? So, all right. I didn't know where, I mean, it's 1 week, and the guy does have some pizzazz. He's a rookie with talent. There's some excitement there. I get that. So, as far as the other players who might be worth adding, and let's, I mean, quarterback-wise, if Michael Penix is available, depending on your league size, I love Michael Penix. And he might be available in some leagues that are not just shallow leagues either. There might be some leagues where, oh, Penix didn't get drafted. If it's not a super flex, depending on type of league you're in, right? But I love Penix. I don't think that was a fluke at all. There was more to come. He's going to unlock Kyle Pitts finally? I don't think that's a week one fluke, actually. And we don't need to go back in time and do the Kyle Pitts rewind. We all know the story. But I think that Penix is such a gunslinger, and he's so good at distributing the ball, throwing the ball downfield, that Pitts could finally have the best year of his career. I don't know what that means or what that looked like, but that's also kind of a low bar. But I think we're there. Penix is a guy, if you score rushing touchdowns too, that's a bonus. J.J. McCarthy rushing touchdowns last night. I love seeing that. You're not going to get a ton of yards passing with McCarthy, but he can run the ball, he can score with his feet, and he can throw dimes. So you're getting scoring touchdowns from both his feet and his arm. But the yardage won't always be there with McCarthy, and that's something you got to consider. I admit that. Also, Jordan Mason clearly dominated as the run carrier last night. I loved it. I love Jordan Mason this year. You think he's the feature back. Aaron Jones is the guy that kind of gives them the receptions. Aaron Jones had a receiving touchdown, so that was nice. But he's the guy that they can throw the dink and dunk the ball to. But I think Mason will always get the majority of the carries. I don't think that is a week one fluke either. We're talking what is real and what is not. What's an overreaction? What's a fluke and what isn't after week one? That's the key right now if you want to get ahead early in week two and forward. Chat says, by the way, I also came a competent wide receiver from likely winning millions between Survivor and Live Bets on the Titans versus Broncos. Everything I thought about the game was right, but Ridley effed me. Yeah, well, that... Everyone's got a story like that. Everything's going great, but that guy screwed me. Roki V. Okay. Oh, baseball. You're trying to sneak in baseball talk. Nice try, Chad. I like that. Nice try. All right. So, anyways, quarterback wise, Penix is an ad. Ward's got the Rams this week. Cam Ward. I think he'll actually have a pretty good. I think the Rams will lose that game, maybe outright. It's in Tennessee. So, if you're looking week to week matchups at quarterbacks, or you got to. You're not happy with week one. We got to mention Daniel Jones. All right, so Daniel Jones has the Denver Broncos this week in Indy. This is the ultimate test. If what Daniel Jones did was real in week one, right, then he can do it in week two. But here's what's going to happen. Week two, he's facing the Denver Broncos, and Daniel Jones is going to get shut down by that D. So then it's going to be week three. It's going to be rubber match time. Well, what is it? Was Daniel Jones the week one version or the shitty week two version? Find out next week on the NFL. It's like a TV show. You got it? But Jones is a guy who can score with his feet as well. He's a guy who can run. He always has been able to. And if he's coming back from that knee injury and he's healthy, you know, the Colts have a fair amount of talent around the roster. Remember, I don't know, Mike Virginia left here. He popped in earlier at the show, but he was asking me on Sunday, we were talking about Michael Pittman. Should he start Michael Pittman week one in a non-PPR league? And I told him, my point was that Daniel Jones turned all his targets to Malik Nabers. So he loves dumping it to one specific guy who's good. Malik Nabers is better than Pittman, but the context of the team, Michael Pittman being their wide receiver of choice, who Jones threw a fair amount of targets to. 6 catches, 80 yards, and a tutty for Mr. Pittman. I got no shares of Pittman, so I was kind of bummed to see that, but I wasn't surprised either. I was very happy to see Tyler Warren getting grabs. Tyler Warren had a great debut as an NFL tight end, and he got a carry. Did he get more than one carry? I love seeing him getting rushing opportunities for Tyler Warren. That's money. But there's a part of me that thinks Daniel Jones could be a viable super flex option going forward. I think week two Denver should be a reality check, but Daniel Jones is scrappy and the AFC South sucks for the most part. So there could be enough here where Daniel Jones is actually a serviceable second option super flex quarterback. Not a starter in non-super flex leagues. I'm not saying that, but something to keep an eye on there. He's got Tyler Warren, and if Pittman's healthy, well, there's... he's got JT, Jonathan Taylor, who I couldn't believe didn't score week one. Everybody else scored for the Colts except JT, but he got his carries. JT got his carries. Also, DJ Giddens, the backup running back. I know it was a blowout game, 33-8. The Dolphins shit the bed big time.
Thank you, Jesus!
Yeah, you better run a check if you're the Dolphins.
Great job.
But DJ Giddens, the backup running back at Indy, the clear number two now, the rookie out of Kansas? DJ Giddens out of Kansas or Kansas State? I always mix that up. Either way, I like Giddens. You talk about handcuffs. Giddens is an excellent, excellent handcuff for Jonathan Taylor. Another guy who's had injury problems, ankle issues in the past, right? So, yeah, keep your eye on DJ Giddens. I think he's actually worth rostering. It was Kansas State, by the way. Cleared that up. Chad says, Sean Payton has, to my knowledge, never started 2-0 in his coaching career. So give me Daniel Jones dominating the Broncos.
Insane fantasy takes.
Why you take that player?
I love it. I love it. You're right. Too much like going with the flow. You can't go with the flow. The NFL, you have to go against the grain, and you have to just sit there with something that doesn't feel good. If you're betting, if you're starting guys, you're like, ugh. I'm starting Daniel Jones against the Broncos. This feels shitty. He sucks. And the Broncos D is good. But then, poof, NFL. Daniel Jones has a great day. Colts are 2-0. Oh, man, it's maddening. I don't even know why we do this. I really don't. What are we doing? Why are we involved with the NFL? Why do we watch this shit? Because it's interesting. I'll say that. You know, they hooked me early, too. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, they got me as a kid, sucked me in a long time ago. And my local team sucked most of the time. The Lions, I mean, we had Barry Sanders, Herman Moore, and the Scott Mitchell Lions in the 90s, but, you know, they were never good. But, man, watching Barry Sanders run was gold and hell. The Giants of the late 80s, early 90s, Mark Bavaro and Doug Williams, Washington, and the Fun Bunch. Yeah, man, yeah. They sucked me in early, and I'm screwed, okay? So let's just accept it and move forward. Chad also says, Cam Ward had his way with them, only to have his wide receiver drop every pass. Yeah. I think the Broncos D is very good. I mean, they're one of the Broncos probably top five defensive units in football. I think that's fair to say. We'll see how it shakes out. But they have the talent, that's for sure. Okay, so as I was saying, I got off on a rant here. What was I saying? Where am I? Who are we? Yeah, okay. Quarterback, there's not a lot there. Wide receivers, my guy, Wandale Robinson. Yay! I got Wandale in a lot of best ball. He had 8 targets, caught 6 grabs for 55 yards. This is what Wandale Robinson does. So if you play in full point PPR, Wandale Robinson is a must add. He is must add. Shout out to Mike Virginia and Brenton Allen, my boys, right? Must add. Yeah. Wandale Robinson, must add. Michael Wilson looked pretty decent as well. I didn't know what it would look like. He had 4 targets. I think that doesn't look like much on the surface, but he's involved in their offense. And if you feel that the Carolina Panthers suck, then Michael Wilson should have an interesting game this Sunday for the Arizona Cardinals. Josh Palmer is in a sea of a lot, as Chad mentioned a few minutes ago. Joe says, Packers with Parsons are scary. Yeah, and he's not even fully healthy yet, so we'll see what the hell's going on there, right? I still think maybe they should consider running a check. So you better run a check. So come on and tickety-check yourself before you wreck yourself. Tickety-check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yeah. I'm also using that button so I can get a drink of water. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jesus!
Anyways, I think in the end, Josh Palmer, who has talent, and he's in a great offensive situation with Josh Allen and company, but there's just a lot of people to throw the ball to. So week to week, Josh Palmer was a great best ball draft choice, in my opinion. Week to week, it's too mysterious. I don't know where Palmer will fit in with the Buffalo offense, but he's one of their better receivers. I don't have any doubt about that. I already mentioned Hollywood Brown. It's all the Chiefs have. The Chiefs have a Super Bowl rematch with the Philadelphia Eagles at home in Kansas City this Sunday. Hollywood Brown is going to be one of the only outside targets. Kelsey's done. I don't care that he scored a touchdown. Kelsey's trash. It's over, man. He cannot open up the offense for them. Philly's going to shut them down big time unless Andy Reid can come up with some miracle and maximize Patrick Mahomes in some way. But I'll be real surprised if the Chiefs are actually able to win that game. And I know the Chiefs really want to beat Philadelphia because they got their asses kicked in the Super Bowl. But that's not enough. Romeo Doubs, must add! Romeo Doubs. Again, kind of like Hollywood Brown, Romeo Doubs and most of the drafts I did a lot of drafts, afterthoughts. Romeo Doubs was an afterthought. But here he is. Jordan Love and him have strong chemistry. Think about the playoffs 2 years ago. Go back to the 2023 season. Remember the Packers kicked the Cowboys' ass in Dallas? That was awesome, right? And then they went out to San Francisco and they almost pulled. They should have won the game, arguably. They lost at San Francisco in the divisional round. And Romeo Doubs was a big part of both those games. He was key. Jordan Love has a lot of admiration and respect. I think he loves Romeo Doubs in a way. I really do. I think they tell each other they love each other. Jordan talks to Romeo. And Jordan, I love you. Romeo, I love you too. They love each other. So Romeo Doubs should be added. I think he's a must add. Absolutely. Let's see how this shakes out. It's not as bad as the Buffalo situation in terms of the number of receivers because Matthew Golden, the rookie, he's got to work in there. It's going to take time. In Dynasty, we all love Golden, but for redraft, Golden, we'll see. They also got the rookie Xavion Williams out of TCU, who's a kick returner as well, and they really like him. And then there's Dontavian Wicks. And, of course, Jaden Reed, who I told everybody on this show on Sunday, I sat right here in the same chair with the same microphone, this past Sunday before kickoff, and I said, when my boy JP asked me, should I drop Jaden Reed? I said, no, you can't drop Jaden Reed yet. I'm really concerned about his Jones fracture injury to his foot, but he's going to play through it. It's just about how much pain can he take. And he ends up scoring a touchdown week one. Doesn't do anything else, but this is where we are. The Packers offense is going to have some big weeks, though. We're going to have some borderline 400-yard passing games. Jordan Love throwing it all over the place. And week to week, one receiver will probably benefit over the other. But I think Romeo Doubs will be a lot more of a consistent presence than we think. So I'm very pro Doubs. Okay? Doubs. Romeo Doubs. Chad said, is Doubs season a thing again? Yes, it really is. There's no doubt about it, man. Let's party. I'm all in. I want all my Doubs. I want to get all the Doubs shares I can. I do. If I need receivers, I'm going to fill Doubs in there. Everyone being off Cook is weird. James Cook? Nobody likes him anymore? Is Luis Garcia droppable? What are you doing? Which one? The Washington one? The second baseman who always depresses me? No, I still hold on to him depending on the context. Yeah, James Cook. The Hound House! What's up? Is the Hound House related to the Ho House? Remember the Ho House last year?
Great job.
Oh, the Hound House. What a name. Ty Spears, Godwin, Mixon, Judkins, and Addison. Do I stash any of these guys, and should I drop Dante Thornton for Booty? I like Booty. I would actually drop Thornton for Booty. I would. That's what I would do. I think Booty is very much a part of what New England's offense wants to do. Now, game script, and they're playing the Dolphins this week down in Miami. Things could be different, but Booty was clearly on the field, and they were losing, so they needed to win. So it wasn't like they were like, oh, we're up, we're just coasting right now. No, look at Booty with the snap share. It tells you a lot. I think it really does. The fact that he got 82%, that's damn good, man. Pops Douglas was behind him, and then Mac Hollins, the old vet, he's in the mix as well. Steph Diggs, 41%. I think he's coming back from that knee injury, Steph Diggs. They know that like he's still working his way back. He's not fully the Steph Diggs that we knew, but I don't think he was going to be the Steph Diggs that we used to know anyways. I think it was over. I didn't draft Steph Diggs at all in any league, period. Period. So out of these stashes, I think you got to add Addison. I think Mixon could be a lost season for real. Godwin's really good, too. That's a great one. I love Ty J. Spears. I don't know if it's ever going to come to fruition, though. For me here, Houndhouse, of these guys, I'm going Godwin and Addison as my top two, okay? Godwin and Addison. Those are my top two. Godwin, Addison. Houndhouse, thank you so much. Subscribe and like. I appreciate you. JP says, appreciate the Jaden Reed advice. Yeah, I mean, it worked out, right? You still got him, so now you can think about what to do with him. But you couldn't drop him. I think that was pretty clear. Uncle T says, volume, and more volume is what wins. Volume sounds good to me. Production helps, too. Don't do it. Find someone else to drop. Did I miss something there, Joe? Sorry, I'm stoned. Ezekiel Ruiz. Hello, Ezekiel. How you doing? You spell your name like Ezekiel Duran of the Texas Rangers. Your first name. Would you pick up Jonnu Smith, Ertz, or Pitts? God. I think I'm picking up Pitts. You guys, I can't. I was off Jonnu Smith all year coming into the preseason and during the offseason. Even being traded to Pittsburgh, it sounded cool, but they still had Freiermuth, and I just didn't think that Jonnu Smith was going to be this stud again. I think he lucked out in a lot of ways last year because of Miami's situation, and they were desperate. You know, Tua was in and out, and Jonnu just kind of benefited from a fluke season, in my opinion. Jonnu's solid, but he's just not as good as the stats you saw last year in Miami. Jonnu Smith is not that guy, in my opinion. If you look at the snaps last week against the Jets in that wild 34-32 ball game, Jonnu got 66%. Freiermuth or Freiermuth, depending on how you talk, right behind him at 50%. And then Darnell Washington, who everybody wants to turn into an offensive tackle, was right behind Freiermuth at 46%. So that's interesting. I'm picking up Pitts. I am. I think Pitts is the guy I'd rather have of these three. And I don't feel that bad about it or confused about it. Ertz. You know, Ertz is aging. How much longer can we roll with Ertz? I know it's the Washington offense, so Ertz has a place in it, and he's going to ball out. He had his touchdown, whoop-de-doo. You know, Ertz is, he just keeps on playing and producing, right? And I think Ben Siniot, who the Washington drafted 2 years ago, last season, right? Look at that. I mean, Ertz clearly got the snaps, and John Bates was right behind him, and Sinot was trash. You know, I mean, in terms of options and opportunities, Ben Sinot didn't get jack squat. So if you like Ertz more, then go for it. But I think Pitts is the guy I like best for fantasy in terms of possibilities. You want a guy who's keeping it real and he's consistent enough. I see why Ertz could be that guy for you. Jaden Daniels is awesome. Washington is not a fluke. They're a great team. There's no doubt about it, okay? Oh, Chad says, breaking news! Packers extend Christian Watson. Really? Wow, why? Interesting. 1 year, $13 million to cover next year. Okay. We'll see if that ACL holds up. A curious move. I agree, Joe. It is a curious move. Houndhouse wants to know. Again, it's not the Ho House. It's Houndhouse. If you want to know what the Ho House is, you got to be a listener from a couple years ago. Britton Allen and my boys. Follow Britton, 2 T's, 2 L's. Mike Virginia at underscore Mike VA. My man. And the Discord. There's a link in our description. It's totally free. The Discord's free, and we have 24/7. You could be a total night owl. You could be up at 2:30 in the morning, and you're thinking about Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? Who should I add? And somebody will probably answer it, I swear. If it's not me, it might be Ben, it might be Christian. There's a lot of people who know what they're talking about in that Discord, and they give their time freely, and I love that. Mwah! Thank you so much.
Great job.
Good work. It's for the people.
And we give it back to you, the people.
But I think this is a no-brainer. Rodgers? Or am I overreacting to the overreaction here? Right? Yeah, it's Rodgers for me, because I think Jackson Dart will hopefully take that role soon. And also, Uncle Ted agrees, the Jackson Dart show is about to begin. All right, cool. Yep. That's it. Aaron Rodgers, and I'm done. Russell Wilson, I think it's over for Russell Wilson. Now, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be as great as he was in week one with the four touchdowns, but he's going to be pretty solid, it seems. Another year removed from his Achilles, also a year older in life in his 40s, but, you know, with Mike Tomlin, he's locked in. He's got this... He's got a lot of guys he can distribute the ball around to, and it's not all about Aaron Rodgers coming into the preseason and during the season now. He doesn't have all his guys like Nate Hackett there. I don't believe Nate Hackett's there in Pittsburgh, is he, for example? So, yeah, Rodgers over Wilson, I think it's a no-brainer. I'm going to lock it in. Come back and hit me up end of season. Tell me if I was right or wrong. Brian says, Pitts look good. You damn right he did. Houndhouse is on fire here. Is Braylon Allen worth holding on to? Yes, he is. Yes. For now. For now. For now he is. I actually, Houndhouse, hear me. I'm talking to you directly. Houndhouse. I believe that Isaiah Davis, the third running back, some may say in the Jets backfield, is really good. But Breece Hall balled out in week one, so he's looking like, okay, I'm here. I get the carries. I get the snaps, right? And Braylon Allen had a touchdown, but didn't do anything else in that high-scoring affair at the Meadowlands. They don't call it the Meadowlands anymore, do they? Or is that area known as the Meadowlands? I've often wondered that. But Braylon definitely had the second most snaps, so if that makes you feel more comfortable, you know, they're still relying on him. He's not going anywhere. Unless an injury takes place, he's going to be out. But otherwise, he might be the starter if Breece Hall gets hurt. I like Isaiah Davis more. I'm saying this now. I'm going to continue to say it. He was a no-name guy, drafted. Was he undrafted free agent or a deep draft pick last year? Rookie last year, Isaiah Davis, nobody cares about. Nobody thinks about him. He was plus 1,400 to score a touchdown in week one. Man, I thought that one actually hit. I actually did bet like $5 on it, but it didn't happen. But I like Isaiah Davis a lot. And I think by the end of the season, we're all going to realize that, wow, Isaiah Davis is a pretty decent running back. But then I haven't even mentioned Justin Fields. He's going to run just as much, too. So that kind of stinks for your Braylon Allen love. It almost makes Braylon Allen like the third running back with Fields and Breece Hall being one and two, right? So don't drop Braylon Allen yet, though. That's my bottom line. Hold on a little bit longer. Let's see what happens, and then we'll take it from there, okay? Good man, Houndhouse. Thanks for being here. I agree with Uncle Ted, actually. I love Juwan Johnson. I think he's an absolute ad. He was like the last tight end in every draft I was in who would not get drafted. If it was last call, second last pick of the draft, Juwan Johnson, nobody was drafting this guy. But he had 8 catches, 76 yards in week one. Rattler's going to dink and dump to him. I don't know why Juwan Johnson is so dismissed. He's had a couple moments over the last few years where he's been a valuable, startable tight end for the Saints. He's got something to offer, and the Saints, you know, we'll hope we'll continue to throw a lot, be losing in games. That's good news for Juwan Johnson. So I'm with you, Uncle T. I like it a lot. Jimmy says it's tongue season. Oh. Miles Sanders ripped off a 54-yarder and 4 rushes for the Cowboys. He also fumbled and fucked that up. So fuck Miles Sanders. Okay, I'm going to lock that in too. Juwan seems like a spike week guy, never consistent. Agree. Joe, I don't disagree with that. You're right. But I don't think he's a nothing burger either. You know, the NFL's like that. Week to week, guys are up and down. Some guys are it's rare to find consistency in the NFL. Joe, you know that as well as I do. But I think Juwan is more than just a spike week guy. I think he's a tight end worth rostering. He could be your number one, depending on the league depth. Number two at worst, though. I like him. I mean, he can catch some balls. And it's... I know Foster Moreau, if you're... Oh, what about Foster? I can't believe we're getting this deep into it. We're talking Foster Moreau and Juwan Johnson, New Orleans tight ends. Foster Moreau, did he get cut? No, they cut his ass. Is it over? Because, oh, wow. Or he might have been hurt because I'm not thinking about Foster Moreau that much. Pitts at the 1-1. I love it. Juwan over Fannin? That's a great one, Joe. I'm going to say yes. In redraft, yes, I am. I'm saying that. And you could think I'm overreacting, but I actually picked up Juwan and even started him in a couple leagues a week one. So I'm not just a Johnny come lately on this. I actually like Juwan Johnson enough to say no one's thinking about him. Saints are going to be losing. Rattler is a younger QB who needs to rely on his tight end. I mean, that's not even up for debate. He was on the field all game long. Juwan Johnson wasn't just kind of there for certain packages or 12 personnel. So bye-bye Foster Moreau. Who cares about Jack Stoll and Mr. Matavo. I like how I said it, Matavo. That doesn't matter. Juwan Johnson's for a legitimate possible starting tight end in fantasy football. He is. He is. Yep. I feel good about it. Is London okay? I think it was a shoulder thing, right? He left the game, so it's like, well, what's happening next? Is it week to week? I haven't got the official update on London. I'd like to know if anybody else has heard anything. He's going to play? It looks like it's going to come down to he may or may not play. We'll have to wait till this weekend. So, yeah, I don't know. London, it's too early to say right now. On Tuesday night at 8:16 p.m. Eastern time. I wish I had, I don't know more than you do, and I'd be lying otherwise. Only one place I pick him, he gets hurt. Oh, Joe. Oh. Ho House again? Opinions on... again, Hound House. I'm sorry, it's just an old bit on the show. Me, Britton, and Mike. Somebody brought up the Ho House a couple years ago, and we laughed about it. So I see Hound House. It just makes me think of Ho House. But it's funny. If you were there in the original, you would have been like, oh, that's hilarious. No disrespect to you, though, Hound House. I want you here. I want to talk hounds. I want to talk dogs. I want to talk football. We talked about JCM, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, or Bill, earlier in the show. And yeah, it looks like it's his backfield now. I'm all about it. Let's party. Let's do it. I think there's something very much there in terms of fantasy points and opportunity. Chris Rodriguez being a healthy scratch, that freaked me out. And if that happens again, then JCM's in business. But this is also the NFL, and these people love to mess with your head. They love to screw with you. They love it. They love messing around, say, oh, you think we're going this way? Now we're going that way. Misdirection, right? It's a misdirection play. So Chris Rodriguez is not out of the loop yet in the Washington backfield. I just don't see that as the case. The Island of Foster Moreau. Very good. Is it a Chris Berman one? Back, 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 back. Uncle T says, I'd rather have Miles Sanders over Braylon Allen. Okay. Good luck with that. I'm done with Miles Sanders, and I don't care what happened week one. We're talking about dogs when we talk about the Ho House. We be talking about bitch. Very funny. Chad says, can you pull up the Cowboys snap sharp? Because I'm pretty sure Turpin got more running back snap than Sanders. Oh, come on. No, Sanders got run, there's no doubt. And he did have that big run, and he had that huge fumble. So he screwed himself. And really, it's amazing. You're right. Look at this snap share. This says a lot. A lot. How many snaps is that? A lot. How many snaps is that? A lot. Look at that. 18% for Miles Sanders. Javonte got 77. And no Jaden Blue in that one. So, Jaden Blue truthers. You got some work to do as well. Good call, Chad. Yeah, Miles Sanders barely out there. Javonte Williams, this is his backfield. And hopefully Jaden Blue becomes someone who gets relied on more. Because I think I did draft him in one best ball. Maybe two. I was thinking Jaden Blue has something to offer, and I know some people said he was lazy or some bullshit in camp that someone makes up, blah, blah, blah. And Brian Schottenheimer explained why Jaden Blue was a healthy scratch. You want to hear about it? I don't care. I'm not going to hear it either. All right, so here we are. Final thoughts on the show. Closing it out here. Moving into week two. I mentioned some of the guys I wanted to mention. I think running back-wise... Kendre Miller of the Saints. He looks like he's probably the handcuff for Kamara, if you're thinking about that at all. He had 5 carries for 24 yards, Miller did. Actually, as far as the Chicago backfield, I drafted me a fair amount of Kyle Menange. out of Rutgers, a seventh-round pick. He had 13% of the snaps, and DeAndre Swift had the rest. But that was good to see that Menange was at least, you know, the number two there and involved. It made me happy. Sean Tucker of the Bucks didn't get much run in week one. Also, the Houston backfield, you know, Chad, I know you were the Nick Chubb guy, and I was talking about Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce got 3 carries for 5 yards, and he had one target. But it was Dare Ogunbowale. I'm doing that off the top of my head. Ogunbowale? God damn it. I know the guy because for years he has been in that Houston backfield just as a third down back. There always seems to be another opportunity for Dare Ogunbowale. Ogunbowale. So Ogunbowale had 2 catches for 17 yards, 2 carries for 9 yards, but he also fumbled. So that's good news for Damian Pierce. That's really good news. I'm still on the Damian Pierce bandwagon. I'm not bailing. And if I were you guys, you need a running back, I would still look at Damian Pierce. Week two, Houston is ready to roll. They're taking on the Bucks, who totally shut down Bijan Robinson on the run. They shut down the Falcons' run for the most part. Week two at Houston, will they do it again against Damian Pierce and that O-line in Houston that everybody loves to shit on? Well, it serves the reason that Tampa will shut down the run against Houston. But, you know, I'm still buying Damian Pierce. I'm not done with it, okay? And I understand that's like desperate hour. It's like, shit, I need a running back. I'm kind of desperate here, so I'm going with Damian Pierce. But I'm still in, okay? I'm still in. I mentioned Gittens. I still believe in Chris Rodriguez. I think he'll play a role in that backfield, but we might have to wait a while. After that, you know, as far as San Francisco and CMC, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe CMC ended up having 22 carries in that game against the Seattle Seahawks. 22 carries. You son of a bitch. I never saw that one coming, so I got to eat that one big time. Good job, Mr. CMC. 22 carries, 9 catches. Just a classic. No touchdowns for McCaffrey, but a classic CMC game. And it looks like he was good to go. So Brian Robinson Jr., Isaac Garendo, y'all taking a back seat for now on the show that is the week-to-week ups and downs known as the San Francisco 49er backfield. Ezekiel wants to know, should I trust Mark Andrews this week? Against the Browns? I was out of Mark Andrews this year. I was done. I'm all in on likely sooner or later when he gets healthy and ready to go. Mark Andrews had 1 catch for 5 yards in a game that involved 80 points combined. That screams bounce back week two. It sure does. No doubt about it. I could see that angle, but being that I was out of Mark Andrews to begin with this year, I'm not so sure of it. You know, he clearly was the number one guy with likely being out. Charlie Kohler got 60% of the snaps, though. They like to run a lot of 12 personnel for those that, I'm not trying to sound smart, it just means 2 tight ends, right? Give me 2, right? 2? Yes.
Utah.
2 tight ends, 12 personnel. And Baltimore loves to run that a lot, so I think Andrews is at the end of the line, but there's probably more to come still, especially if he's still starting. But I think that Browns game could be a tough battle. I think the Browns are going to grind out a lot of games against opponents that are even as good as Baltimore, yes. So who else you got? Who else are you going to start instead of Mark Andrews is the real question, my friend. Ezekiel, who are you going to start instead? That's what you got to ask me to help you. Chad says Tootin season might be back. Yeah, Tootin's, you know, with Bigsby being traded, now Tootin's right there on the brink. So all the Tootin truthers are going to get a hard on. Very exciting. One injury away, as Joe says. I still want B-Rob. Brian Robinson Jr.? Okay, yeah. I mean, CMC will still get hurt. He'll probably get hurt eventually. I know it. If I were some of you, after that week one performance, I might trade CMC if somebody believes in it. I would get out now. Because I don't know that CMC can hold up for a whole season anymore. I just don't. And I'm surprised they gave him that much work in week one. I really am. So that either says one thing. The 49ers were desperate for a in-division road win, which they got. Or that they have no worries about CMC's injuries or health whatsoever, and they're ready to party. So whatever you take away from one of those two scenarios being what took place Sunday in Seattle, the Emerald City, I would trade McCaffrey if I could. I would. But that's been my contention, so I'm just sticking with what I know. And I'm not going to change. I'll change when I get information that tells me I need to change. I'm always ready to modify. You got to be ready to... Can't just be stuck in your ways and set on, well, this is what I believe, and that's the bottom line, right? You can't be like that. You got to be ready to modify. So I'm ready to modify. All right. So I got to go. We did a good hour of a show here. I mentioned guys I like. If you missed it, go back, rewind, look at it, read through, check out what the live chat was talking about. There's a lot of talk about Harold Fannin. So everyone's all getting antsy in their pantsy over Harold Fannin. So that's exciting. You know, Luther Burden, his debut in Chicago, didn't do jack squat. Like I said, Chicago week to week is going to be a bozo fest. Jack Beck, another guy who's kind of underrated, but the Raiders youngster, wide receiver, B-E-C-H, Jack Beck. He had one catch for 23 yards. That's interesting, right? Roman Wilson, a guy out of Michigan. He was drafted last year, but he was hurt. He didn't get done. He didn't get to do much last year in Pittsburgh. I was hoping year two for Roman Wilson could be better, but he wasn't targeted in the season opener, even though Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns. So that was kind of a bummer. I thought Roman Wilson might be a guy that kind of shows up on the radar, like, oh, Roman Wilson, he's here, right? But he only got 18% of the snaps. It was all DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin. They had overwhelmingly the amount of snaps for the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one. But week two will change. Things will change. As far as the Thursday night game, because I'm not going to be back on the air before we talk about what happens with Green Bay and Washington, who should be a great game, by the way. As Ezekiel says, well, now my options are between Pitts or Juwan. Who would you take? Well, I guess I got to go Pitts because I like Penix more as a passer. But in terms of volume and opportunity, they both have the same job. I think Juwan and Pitts are going to have the same number of snaps in terms of opportunity. They're the number one tight ends for their teams. But Penix is superior to Rattler, so it's Pitts. And Atlanta this week is taking on Minnesota in Minnesota. I think that's a Sunday night game. That'll be a fun one to watch. McCarthy versus Penix. This is a rematch of the national title game 2 years ago, 2023, Michigan versus Washington. That's exciting. Oh, man. Brian, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Go, Brian, I appreciate you for being here. Tell your son I respect the hell out of him. He is now a man because he beat me like a man. Well done. Very impressed. Nothing but love for you, Brian, son. You're the man. I'm locking that in. Ezekiel, great having you here. Gozy, Joe, Chris, Chad. Also, I got to think Rattler is benched eventually. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I kind of like Rattler a little bit. I do, but I got some problems. I got mental problems that I'm not, you know, always making the right choices. So. Jimmy, Uncle T, Hound House, all you guys in the live chat, man, you guys were active, active, active. Thank you so much, Chad and company, for being here. JP, everybody else earlier in the show. Discord's open 24/7. Come and talk to us. In the meantime, hope to be back on Sunday. That's right, around Sunday, 11:30-ish, 12 noon. For kickoff, we'll be doing start sits and all that fun stuff. Can't wait to be a part of it. Please subscribe. All the stuff that makes the show better. We love it. We love it. We love it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I'm Michael Govier. And
thank you, Jesus.
It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Fucking Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all fucking hug it, chug it, football all night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.